in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Beis, there is a the Torah says Daber Na Baz Neham Bishalu Ishmei Ishvi Eu Ishm Ishvi Usa Klichet of Klizov. Hashem tells Moshe that he should tell the people that they should Bishalu. Seems like the word from the Lashon Sheila, borrow from each friend and from each woman from her friend, Klei Chetzef and Klei Zov. So, are they really borrowing it? I mean, what they, in other words, borrowing means that they have to give it back. So, this is a question that Rabbeinu Bechaya deals with. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says that it doesn't mean to say that they borrowed it. It means to say that ask them as a gift. It doesn't mean to borrow it. So, he says that, the question here is that, what happens like this, really, the question is that it sounds like, in other words, it sounds like to borrow it. So, he says really that, in other words, so why didn't the Jews owe them the money? He says that the Jews owed them money. For all the years that the Jews worked in Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim owed them so much money that it was even countered what they were asking for. They worked for 210 years in Mitzrayim. So therefore, there was no problem of them asking it even for a gift. That's what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. But the Peirush Tzedek L'Derech, the Peirush on Rashi, in Parshas Shmos, he asked the following question, because in Perek HaChelek, the Gemara says over there that later on, the Mitzrayim went to Alexander Mukdon, Alexander the Great, and they asked him, you know, we want our money back. It says that we lent it to them. It didn't say that we gave it to them, it says we lent it to them. So if it's true that it really means that it means they asked them as a gift, so what was their taina? This is the question to learn it, that it would means that it was a gift. So what was the taina? No, it never meant as borrowing. So you could say that it means to say that the Mitzrayim misunderstood. They thought that it was only for, in other words, for 3 days. But really, it's not our problem if they misunderstood. They thought it was only for 3 days, but we really wanted it for good. And then he says a lot like this. He says that there was no issue of Geneva Stas, even if they borrowed it. This is what in lieu of the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Tzedek L'Derech says that there was no issue of Geneva Stas. In other words, even if they asked to borrow it, because since Hashem was the Egyptian souls, certainly he can cause their money to be relinquished. They're like a Hefker Bezen Hefker Hazah. Like you have that svara by, in other words, it's a mitzvah Hashavat Aveda, certainly to return, they have that svara. If you return someone's object, mitzvah Hashavat Aveda, certainly to return someone's soul is a mitzvah Hashavat Aveda. Hashavat Aveda, the Kirov says that svara. So the opposite way goes also into effect. The opposite way says that there was no issue of Geneva Stas, because since they were allowed, their lives were allowed to be taken, certainly their money was allowed to be taken. Then Rashi comes along, and Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Daber no, please speak. The Bavusta Rashi. Rashi says, Shelo yoyma oyset tzadik Avraham, va'avadim v'inu oysam kiyim bohem, achar ke yitzu b'tzus v'gadu loy kiyim bohem. That, why should you go ahead and give them gifts? In order that that tzadik, who was Avraham Avinu, wouldn't be scared and say, look, in other words, he was Mekayim, what he told me, that they would be enslaved for 400 years, but he didn't keep his promise. I don't see where they came out with the Rechush Gadol. So the obvious kasha is that Hashem has to keep his word because of the Tzadik Avraham Avinu. Hashem has to keep his word because he has to keep his word. Hashem keeps his word. That's the obvious kasha. So there's a sefer called the Chumash Beis Yehuda. The father told this boy to me many years ago. He liked this Chumash. It's a Chumash with Yiddish. It's a Yiddish taich on Rashi. And sometimes he has Mishalim over there. He calls it Mishal Yehuda. I don't think he got it from the Dubna Magid. And he says the following. In order to answer this question, he said, a Moira Dikamosh. He says like this. He says that there were two kings that were fighting. He calls it the king of Spain and the king of Bulgaria. So they were having a war. And these kings decided, why should the chaval on the soldiers, why should the soldiers lose their lives in the war? Well, let's make a deal. They'll have the strongest one of your soldiers will fight the strongest one of our soldiers. And whoever soldier wins, that means the country won the war. Okay? That's what they wanted to do. That's what they did. So they were fighting. Yom came the day they were fighting. And the soldier got up. And what happened was the soldier, at the end it doesn't matter who wins, but he made it that the Bulgarian soldier won. But for a while, the Bulgarian soldier looked like he was losing, like he was underneath, like he was pinned down by the Spanish soldier. Then it looked like he was about to lose. Then he got up and pushed the other guy away, and he won the fight, and that was all over. And he won the fight. At the end, he thought he was going to come back a hero, so he came to the king, and he thought he was going to get like a prize. So the king said to the soldier, I want to ask you something. You know, you were really, it seems like you were stronger. You won. You were a strong guy. So what happened over there in the middle? What happened that you were like, pinned underneath? He says, you want to know the truth? I was really stronger than this guy. I just wanted to surprise everybody. I wanted to get everybody, like, nervous. So I looked like I was going to lose, but then when it came like the end, I got up from it. It looked like he got up from a defeat. Make the action better. So the king of Bulgaria says, you think you're going to get a prize? You're not going to get anything. You're not going to get anything. If not, maybe you'll get punished. Why? Because for those minutes which you were pinned underneath, I thought I was going to lose the war. So you made me so nervous. Like, it was a Shrek. I didn't know what to do. So because of that, you're not going to get a prize. I don't know what I'll see what I have to do with you. So the nimshel is the following. The nimshel was that really the Rechush Gadol that was supposed to be meant for Klal Yisrael was the Bizat Hayam. Was they were going to get after they came out of the sea, they got the pearls or whatever the sea had to offer over there. That was really Bizat Hayam. But Avram didn't know that. So if Avram, the Neshama from Avram, would see them coming out of Mitzrayim, and they wouldn't have any Rechush Gadol, so he would get worried. So in order not to even worry Avram Avinu for a second to think that Hashem does not mekayim his word, that's why they had it borrowed from their friend Klei Chesed and Klei Zov. Now, so later on in the Parsha, it says that you have to put blood, it's the Parakut Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hoyah Adam Lachem L'os Al Abatim Asher Atem Shom. He says Adam, and I'll see the blood. Fasachti Aleichem V'lo Yeh Bachem Negef L'mashchis Bakosi Beretz Mitzrayim. In other words, and I'll see the blood, and I will skip over. And it shouldn't be a plague for the mashchis when I smite Eretz Mitzrayim. So, the two questions that have to be asked here. This is standard for the Haggadah, but could I say it over here? The question is that the Haggadah says, the Baal Haggadah says that Ani Hashem, Ani hu v'lo acher, Ani v'lo malach, Ani v'lo sarf, Ani v'lo shliach. That there was no messenger that was involved in hitting the Mitzrayim. With the Baal HaGadah, what does the Baal HaGadah mean? Was there or wasn't there? The Torah says the Pharisee that there was the Mashkas. Shari Tuitzim lo ninalu. A lot of Tuitzim to this Kasha. So, the most famous of these answers is the Gra. But before we get to the Gra, there's another kasha, and that has to be, and that's part and parcel of this question. In other words, it's like it's the second part of this question. One has to go, when you answer this, you have to answer the other one. And that is that, in other words, if there wasn't a Malach HaMashtis, it wasn't a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then why do you need the blood on the doorpost? Hashem knows who is, Hashem knows who's in Israel and who's not in Israel. So why do you, like, it seems the simple reading of the pasuk is that I'll see the blood and I will skip over. Like, without the blood, I will not be able to skip over. Now, again, Hashem knows what's going on. You don't have to put the blood on the doorpost for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem knows who fulfilled the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach. So, one could simply answer, the most simple answer is to say that that's why Rashi quotes, Rashi says that they didn't put the blood on the outside. Rashi says that they put the blood on the inside of the house. So, the inside was not meant for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was meant for the Kali Yisrael to see the blood. That's what really the Mepharshim say. Even though it says Vera'isi et Adam, it was really meant for Klal Yisrael. But in other words, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're right, he doesn't need the dam. That's the most simplest terrorist to this discussion. Getting back to the original question that we asked, and that is that, in other words, was there a mashkus? It wasn't there a mashkus. The famous answer is the Gra. The Gra says that, in other words, out of 600,000 people, chances are somebody would have died that night out of natural causes. It was his time. The Gra said that even the Mashkus, the Malach HaMavis, he did not let in. In other words, nobody died that night of natural causes, because then if somebody died, then it would lend power to believe that that the Makkah didn't only affect the Mitzvah, it affected Klal Yisrael as well, as it happened in other Makkahs as well. It seems, according to the Medrash. There's another terrorist, one, two terrorists and more for this, and we'll get back to this other kasha with the blood. So, there's a Haggadah called the Maaseh Hashem Haggadah. The Maaseh Hashem was written by Kadmon, his name was Eliezer Ashkenazi, and he says the following. He says, really, Hashem did the killing. It wasn't a Malach. Hashem was the only one entitled to take the person's life. But there was a Mashkus there. And the Mashkus made people sick. He has a raya for that. He has a raya because the Torah says, after it was happening, it says, Kulonu Mason. We had to let them go because we're all going to die. That's what he said. That's what they said. Now, what does it mean all going to die? Only the Bukharian died. So it seems like there was the other ones got sick. That's the way he learns. And therefore, if there was a mashkis, therefore that mashkis, in order to, it shouldn't go into the people's houses. Therefore, the mashkis needed a sign. Hashem doesn't need a sign, but the mashkis needed a sign not to go in. Based on what the Chetzal Avram says, one can answer in a different way. And this is what it is. Really, it was a mashkis. And that was the shliach of Hashem, as Pasuk says. In other words, the Mashkus did the killing, not Hashem. The Mashkus did the killing. But the problem is, the Chilta says, Rashi quotes it, that if it was a Mitzri in the house of Israel, a Bechor Mitzri which is in the house of Israel, then what happens is that the Mitzri also died. Now, if there was blood on the door post, then the mashkus couldn't come in. If the mashkus couldn't come in, so who was supposed to kill that mitzri? So then, that's why you need that Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu was supposed to go. Then a Kadosh Baruch Hu went inside. Why? Because the malach hamashkus cannot. There's a famous story. A malach can't differentiate once it's the mashkus let out. Can't differentiate between a tzaddik and a rasha. So it couldn't differentiate between a mitzri and the Israeli. If Hashem was needed to come in, that's when Hashem was needed. Really, there was a mashkus. But Hashem was needed in those cases in order to kill the mitzri which was in the house of Yisrael. And then Rashi says also the other way around. Let's say there was a Jew in the house of a mitzri, so he was saved. Also, in other words, if the malach hamashkus went in, So who was to save the Israel? Therefore, you would, in this case, you needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu only. That's why in those cases it said an evil Acher. In those cases it was an I and not anybody else to save those Israelis. I'm really bothered by this Rashi, by this Maskilta, really, because what course did that Israel have to be saved if he was in the house of a Mitzri? I'm going to speak about this a little later, but I'm really bothered with this. I don't know if anybody knows an answer to this question. Like, what schos did he have? He was not in his house where he was supposed to be. And number two is he didn't have the blood on the doorpost. So why was he saved? I don't understand why. What schos was he saved? Why Taka? What did he deserve to be saved? I don't know an answer to this. And maybe if somebody would connect with me and give me an answer to that, I would appreciate it. In any event, I want to say the following. That, so therefore, we just answered now the first part, and that was that sometimes it was both Taka, but sometimes, in other words, you needed Hashem only, and sometimes, in other words, you need the blood. You need, according to the Master Hashem's teretz, you need the blood for the mashlis. Basically, Hashem did not need the blood. You need the blood for the mashlis. Opposing Shlita in the sefer on the other sefer on Taurus Munach on the Munachs in, I mean, on all the. There's a trap called the Munach, like it looks like an L, and that, in other words, especially stress that trap. But so the pasuk says, same pasuk says the following: V'hoya hadam lochem lo'os alabatim asher atem shom. There's a Munach on the word asher, so. Rashi, he quotes Rashi that says, "Lochem lo'os below v'acherim." Ikash lo nitla hadam el mibifnim. That means to say that the blood was only on the inside and not on the outside. So he says that the point of the blood was for the Klal Yisrael, that the Bnei Yisrael had to look at the blood and what it represents, and through that they would be saved. In other words. In other words, he says like this. I'm quoting from him. He says that you need two conditions. You need two conditions. That number one is that the Bnei Israel had to stay inside, and also there had to be the blood on the houses. But and the blood on the houses was, in other words, the Klal. It was for the purpose of the Klal Israel. What that blood stood for. And what does that blood stand for? So we'll see later that can't go without quoting the. Love Minsk Rebbe, which we'll quote at the end, we owe so much for all the shiurim on Thursday nights. Basically, the blood represented, in other words, archiv to do the mitzvahs. And that's why Hashem took us out. In other words, to do the mitzvahs of Dam Petach, and some say there was also Dam Mila on the doorposts. So that's what it was supposed to be analyzed. That was why we're being saved, because in order to do the mitzvahs, not the stam, in other words, in order to be tazmas selokim al harazet, that was the purpose of, you know, we had a focus on that. And when we got to that focus, that's why, that was the source of us to be saved. Now, again, he says that you need two conditions. He says you need to have, he says so, he says you have to have the blood on the house, and they had to stay in the house, which again leads me to the question: then why was it that the people that were in Yisrael was in the Mitzri's house? Why was he saved? More than that, the Netziv says the following: the Netziv says that really they didn't need they need to put the blood on. What, in other words, like this: really, Klal Yisrael should have been in Goshen. That's where they should have been. They were given the land of Goshen. What is it that they had? All of a sudden they lived amongst the Mitzrayim, and now they had to go ahead and to skip over their houses. How did they get to the Mitzrayim? How did they get there? maybe slaves, but he says that because they assimilated, he said, therefore they needed some sort of differentiation. They needed an external source of differentiation, namely the blood. If they would have stayed in Goshen, they wouldn't have needed it. But since they were in Mitzrayim itself, Mitzrayim proper, so they needed an extra sign to go ahead and to save them. Even if Kadosh Baruch Hu could see that, you know, but they need that chutz to put it on the doorpost to show that they're different from the Mitzrayim. Even though Hashem could have done it without it, but they need that chutz to put on the doorpost to show that they're not like the people that they're assimilating with. They needed that chutz. Now, then you have the Perlau, the Ratzal Gevroch. He wrote a sefer Adas Yaakov. He wrote a sefer Adas Yaakov on Pesach. So I saw this verse there, and then I was looking up. Somebody has a book in Shul, and it came out with an article book on Minsky. He quotes it from here also. He says that his question is that what's the reason why would they have to stay inside, put the dam on the doorpost, and protect them? Why did he just tell them to go at night? It is, and they wouldn't have to do all this. Just leave the country, and that's it. And avoid all the war, and then once you're out, you're out. So he says that this is to Mirames, a regular terrorist, that he says it's to Mirames that there will be other goluses, other exiles, where there might be darkness outside. In other words, there'll be, besides this Gulf of Mitzrayim, there'll be a period, a long period of night, a period of night, where there will be darkness outside, and Hashem will be with us inside. That's where the long night was, representing the long gulus, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, representative of other guluses as well. That's his vart that he says in the sefer called Adas Yaakov. Recommended to get the sefer on, he wrote Adas Yaakov in the Gemara, but this sefer was written on Parshas Bo, was written on the Haggadah, Shal Pesach as well. Now, we continue further, and Torah says the following. In Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Tes, says, "Vayovu et habotzei kasher hotziu Mitzrayim ugois matzos kiloi chometz." They baked the dough, which they brought out of Mitzrayim, they baked it into matzah cakes, kilo chometz, because it wasn't chometz. Now, what do those words mean? Kilo chometz. Matzahs are not chometz by definition. What does that mean? Kilo chometz. So, pashas, it means that it didn't turn into chometz. Why it didn't turn into chometz? So Rashi says, Rashi holds that they really would have liked to make it chometz, but they were rushed out, so they had to bake it right then and there and make it into a matzah. But according to Rashi, also this is quoted by the Rebbe, that says that ilu yachlis mameya, ayu machmitzin isaseim. They would have baked it bread if they had the chance. It wasn't Pesach Mitzrayim noig one day. So he says that there was, according to Rashi, there was no bayu or bayu mase. They couldn't eat chametz one day, but there was no bayu or bayu mase. Ramban argues. And the Ramban says that they baked matzahs because they were not allowed to bake as chametz, because Ramban is of the opinion that Bal Yerubayim Matzah was not in Pesach Mitzrayim one day. And also, the matzah represents gula. Ramban's opinion is that the matzah, why that is, it's not for now, it's a long discussion, why matzah represents gula. In other words, like, pashas, it means because the gula can happen in a second. And matzah also takes a second. In other words, gula is terrifying. That's pashas why the matzahs represent gula. So, he cross-references it to another Ramban in Pashas Re'eh that says the following. Shilas yom tocho matzah is lechem oini ki b'chitazon yatosam eretz Mitzrayim. So, 7 days she matzah, Lechem Oini, Ibechipazim Yetzirah Mitzrayim. So the Ramban is faced with a question, because he just learned that the matzah represents Geula. So what's this lechem oni? So the Rabban over there says that you're right, that really they, again, it was the chiposan of Mitzrayim, the fact that the Mitzrayim chasing that was the sign of Geula. But when we say halachem anya, lechem oni, the bread of affliction, that means the matzahs that were eaten as slaves. In other words, the slaves, they couldn't either they were given a low form of bread, or they themselves had no time to bake it because they were under pressure. They had to do work, so they had no time to bake it. According to Rashi, though, the chippazon, in other words, like this, according to Rashi, the fact that they were chased out is all part of the inui. The reason why it's called lechem oni is because they couldn't eat until the very last minute. They didn't have a chance to go ahead and to... They didn't have a chance to bake it, so that was all part of the inui. In other words, they didn't have a chance to eat well in Mitzrayim, and they didn't have a chance to eat well on the way out of Mitzrayim. Therefore, because of that, the chippazon, therefore, it's called lechem oni. So basically, according to Rashi, the matzah represents lechem oni, the bread of affliction. While the Ramban says it's also referring to geula. Just to quote somebody, Rabbi Benel, I know one of the people in the audience likes that, Rabbi Benel, he himself has his own pshat. He quotes Ramban and he differs from him, and he says lechem oni, because he says that lechem oni is because it's physically a flat bread. That's why it's called lechem oni. In other words, it's not thick. That's why it's called lechem oni. It's nothing to do with the bread of affliction. He also may say he's bad for the stomach. Anyway, but he has his own pshat why it's called lechem oni. Now, there is an interesting pshat, which is slightly different from one another. In this pasuk, it says, "For you with a botek shoshim ukos matz kilo chametz." So, I first saw it in the Sfarno, and then I see the Mitzvah quoted a little differently, b'shem the Balatanya. And that is, the Sfarno seems to say that when they started baking it, they were on their way to Sukkos. So the Sfarno says that because they had Kshitas HaDerech to go to Sukkos, it didn't turn into, it didn't, even though they didn't bake it, it was just a dough, but it didn't turn into the chametz. And they baked it only once they got to Sukkos. So, in other words, the fact that they had Kshitas was the reason why it was, did not turn into chametz. But when Hashem revealed himself in Sukkos, therefore, then, in other words, until then, it was, and that was a miracle. That was a miracle that it didn't turn. And for that reason, itself, it was a miracle to celebrate the eating matzahs. That such a miracle happened that they didn't either Kshitas HaDerech or the fact that, that they were on the road. Because the way the Baal Tanya was quoted, because the Baal Tanya is saying that even though they had Kshitas HaDerech, it still should have, till they got into the oven and everything, it still should have turned into chametz. So that was a miracle in and of itself. So that's the way he learns Pshat. Kilo chametz means it didn't turn into chametz, even though it wasn't, in other words, Shai according to Rashi, Shai according to Rabban, it was baked as matzah, for either because they had to or they couldn't wait. But according to the Baal Tanya, it was a dough, and it didn't turn into chametz until they got to Sukkos. Or according to the Sfarno, same thing. Now, he says that, in other words, the fact that Hashem was with them didn't, it was like the geula was going on the entire time. It didn't, the matzah represents geula, therefore it didn't turn into to chametz. The Sfarno has to be explained what it means to say when finally Hashem revealed themselves to them, then it didn't turn, that it did turn into chametz, or they baked it then. So the lashon of the Sfarno is, once they went out of the Gvul Mitzrayim, niglu aleihem amudei ha'onan va'esh. Once they went out of the Gvul Mitzrayim, then came, appeared to them the amudei ha'esh ha'onan, and that's when it taka appeared, that's when it taka became chametz. Next. Now we have to speak about, very important, and that is the Ramban at the end of the Sedra, which I saw in that book, he said that the Rebbe quoted it many times, the Parshas Bo. Probably did hear of it once, or probably did hear it. Anyways, he said the following. He says that the Makos have three categories. The first category is Laman Teda Ki Ani Hashem. The first, that was after Dam. To know that there's a Matthias of Hashem. And after this, in other words, by the first mark of the second set, it says, Laman teda ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'oretz. What does that mean? So, Kli Yakar in last week's parsha said the same thing. Bekerev ha'oretz means that not just is Hashem. Bekerev ha'oretz means that he is this Hashkacha Pratis. In other words, he's bekerev ha'oretz. Meaning that, you know, why things happen to some people and not to other people is not by chance, not by coincidence, it's hashkacha. That's making some people this way and some people not that way. Some people rich, some people poor, some whatever, some people sick, some people not people sick. It's hashkacha. So, and then the beginning of the, by Barad, which is the last of the set, it's first starts off Laman Teida Ki Lashem Aretz. That means that the way the Ramban explains it means to say that Hashem created Yesh Me'ayin, and also he says Ki En Kamoni B'chol Aretz. The Lashem is Ki En Kamoni Laman Teida Ki En Kamoni B'chol Aretz. So what does that mean? So there seems to be an agreement the Kli Yakar and the Ramban, and that is that he's able to change the Teva. Change the Teva by Barad. He was able to, in Mitzrayim, a country which is a warm climate like that, all the country that have hail, that's King Kamoni B'chalorit, can change the temple. And then the comes Ramban, and he says the following. He says, V'hutz v'hitrich sh'lichtav kol ma sh'nira lina ba'ustav v'osim al-yedenav al-beinenenu, l'lichtav oso o'r al-pitzchei abatim mezuzas. We have to, whatever these oaths are, we have to write it into the bottom of the mezuzos, and we should say it morning and night time. Again, it means to say we write it in the tefillin, and then he writes mezuzos. And the reason is that we should never forget the moshim that happened. In other words, to all the generations, it should be an edus that would continue on from that day when we get to the mitzvahs, that there shouldn't be a koifer on a kodesh bor. And then he writes, Ki akoinu mezuzah v'zuz echad, somebody who buys mezuzah v'zuz echad, apparently the mezuzahs were very cheap then, v'kava v'pitzchah even skav ben yana, and he's mechav ben yana, he's already moited to the chidish ha'olam, v'idiyat ha'bari v'ashkachasai, and he already believes the culprit of Torah, Vavaj, the Chazah, the Chesed, Bar Gadol, Ahad, Al Elti, Returner, to see him say, Abdel Techevus. So, he asks the question, he says, many people ask this question. The question is not so much from the end of the Ramban, it seems to be from the beginning of the Ramban, that the Ramban writes, Hitzchach, Shinich, Kamash, Nira, Leda, Ba'os, and Moshe, Al Yadena, Ba'in, and Tfilin, Velitam, also, Ola, Al Pitzchia, Batim. We don't write them in the mezuzahs. We don't write Yetzias Mitzrayim in the mezuzahs. We only have the parsha of Shema Avayim Shemo. We don't have the parsha of Kadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachar, which is found in the film. So what does the Ramban mean to say that you write it in the mezuzahs? This is the question that's asked on the Ramban. So, he wants to answer. He says he writes in the, he already wrote in a different country, Shema Yaakov. I don't know where that is. That's one of his Sforim. He writes that based on the Baal Turim, and that is the following. That the reason why we go ahead and put the mezuzah on the doorpost is to remember that blood that was put on the side posts and the mashkaf. Read what he says. Yesh Baal Turim, not the list of the craw. Upasach Hashem ala pesach ala itin amash lo otechem and gof, lo amdeinu bo. The gof ha mezuzah al peschem shal Yisrael, who zeich li tzidis Mitzrayim, the dams to nasu leitzal amashtol v'ashtei amezuzos. When the mele is zehu shirish hashmiru shalom mezuzos al pesach school of arichas yamim shivu. This is a school of arichas yamim. Mind you, we meichem v'neivneichem. So, so he says. So you don't need that the parsha should be written in the mezuzah. The fact that it's put on the mezuzah v'tach, that itself is a is a reminder to the mitzvah, to the nes that happened on the mezuzah's Beis Echa v'Sharech. One could ask, but we don't have this on two sides of the doorpost, not on top, but that's the point, is to remember that thing. So, he says also that even Shema Yisrael and the fact that Vehim Shmo is also reminiscent of the Yitzias Mitzrayim, because the purpose was to shech the pleh and to put it on the doorpost to show that the God was nothing, and by saying Shema Yisrael, that's Miyachad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Mela, that itself also reminds us of Yitzias Mitzrayim. There was the fact that Gufa Mitzvah Mezuzah, the Darvish Hussim and the Edis on everything that happened in Matthias Mitzrayim. It's interesting to note that the Targum Yonah ben Uzziel says further that even the Dam Mila was mixed with the Dam Pesach. And I guess they put it on the doorpost as well, even though it doesn't say it. Or maybe it just means, he says it's mixed, maybe it just means that they were suffering for they just had Mila because they couldn't eat the current Pesach without the Mila. So he says that this was to stop, it was a Kitruk, Halola Avodizara, Halola Avodizara. So, Halola Avodizara, Halola Avodizara. So therefore, in order to combat, in order to stop that Kitruk, so the Klal Yisrael had to have the Dam Mila. And the dam hariga was for the mitzriim. In other words, din for the mitzriim and rachman is for klal yisrael. Just to end off, he ends off. The ramban ends off that from the nisim hagadolim before slavim, other modes of nisim anistarim. From the nisim hagadolim, a person can see the nisim anistarim. In other words, once we know that there's a bunch of them capable of doing great nisim, therefore even the nisim which are not to before them. Is also a nace. Famous story. Sheba of Eretz Yisrael. He was very sick, but he was very very very. He was a very old age, and they said, "Why?" They told him, "You're living with Nisim." The nurse told him he's living with Nisim, and he told her back, "You're also living with Nisim. Everybody's living with Nisim. Even the people that are healthy are living with Nisim." So, therefore, that's the. He says he ends off saying that the Nisim Nistarim is proven by Nisim Gluim. That's why Purim happened on Pesach, to show you that Purim also, because of Nisim Gluim that happened on Pesach, the Nisim Nistarim, the Haman was hung on the second day of Pesach. So. In that, we end off saying that we thank Hashem for the miracles that he has, the Nisim Gluyim that he's done, and the Nisim Nistarim that we don't know about, are always happening, Nisim Nistarim, and the Nisim will eventually do for us in the future. Until through this goal, then the ultimate Geula will be the biggest Nisim, even bigger than, may Tzitzchah Mitzrayim, and the flows. Shabbos.